Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales Presents, a curated actual play 5e Dungeons & Dragons game set in the world of the monthly subscription service Dungeon in a Box. This is the second episode of the first released subscription, The Caravan of Peril. So come on in, grab a seat by the bar as we present this very special limited series.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
Wasn't able to get any other guards.
You are the four guards of the journey.
The or what happened to the previous guards?
I didn't kill them.
Somehow I don't know whether to believe you or not.
So do we take good places around the caravan, like in the big, you know, front, in the back? Do
you
we
tell
decide?
Me.
Okay.
We're I'll go to the front left.
Wagon. We're going to the wagon.
We're going to a wagon. We will have the rear guard.
All right.
So one will switch off maybe being in the wagon and one will walk, you know, that type of a thing.
I will be near the front. So then I'll be on like the second one, crossbow ready just in case.
I'll be up near the front of the caravan with Fifrud.
So I have the homeboys on the second caravan or thereabout. I have Nem and Alin in the back watching for rear trouble. Are you attentive guards? Do you search the environs? I mean,
I attempt to.
I'm asking Torin who he likes.
What is the full complement of the caravan besides the caravan master, Findal, and us?
There are six other wagons.
With how many?
With other people and whatnot on them.
Okay. All civilians and passengers and...
Yeah, we can gladly roll up those caravan wagons and attitudes and the like as you move along if you want to meet and get to know the other people you're traveling with. But the first day is largely getting all of the kinks out of travel. You're moving along at a pretty respectable rate as you leave the well-tended road north of Mariposa.
What does the view as we leave the city and the first like half a day look like? Is it like hilly or?
It's a well-forested area. Mariposa's nestled in. You cross a wide river into an open plain, and it's a very naturally resplendent view. However, it is very much an overcast day.
At the time that I'm riding on the wagon, I'm going to stand up, like, just really excited and say, "Isn't it a beautiful day?" And just smile at nature.
And at this point, I'm going to get off the wagon and walk behind. Rear guard.
So we have our characters situated and they begin the journey north. Then they turn west towards nightfall, and about an hour out on the westward turn, there is a general camp that is often made, a large plain and field where the wagons circle up and you go over the ins and outs of the day and maybe have a quick discussion as to how you want to orient yourselves to best guard the caravan at all times. So the wagons circle up for the night. Arul makes a nice roaring bonfire in the middle. Meats and other goods that have been brought for the first couple of days that will expire are unloaded, and you have an opportunity, if you so choose, to interact with some of these individuals who are in the caravan heading towards Grey Haven. Or you can choose to be guards earnest in their business, have no truck with those you are protecting, and stare out into the darkness waiting for dinner to be brought to you, because it will be. Arawul's making some sort of roast fowl. I mean, you could pull out your ornithographic book to determine what bird it was, but that's neither here nor there. The choices are all yours as we descend into darkness on our first night in caravan travel, just outside the city of Mariposa.
I feel like people with dark vision should maybe keep watch or take turns maybe, or, you know, there's four directions around a caravan.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea to spread out a little bit.
Yeah.
You also can't be on guard all night long. Somebody will need to be on watch. You'll have to establish a watch.
I will agree that I will start watch. I would say you would want to go socialize and get food.
I like duty.
I know you were on the wagon guarding and watching, right?
Yeah.
So don't you deserve a break? I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't know what these things are like.
That's so kind of you. Thank you.
Go have dinner. I don't know.
Are you being antisocial again?
Uh-huh.
All right, cool.
I followed around the back. I'm going to do a surveillance of the perimeter, and I will get food later.
I'm going to wait until it gets darker before I take over shift, because I have dark vision. So it just kind
of
makes
sense. All three of us do. He doesn't, so he should be first.
Yeah, so you should guard first. Well, it's still kind of light.
Or he can guard as light brings up, and he can take the last watch, too. So that's dawn. Perfectly acceptable as well. But as you're making a perimeter and about to settle into your routine, can I get a perception check from Alin?
17.
That is sufficient. You have noticed there is a small shrine on the side of the road. You can't quite see from this distance. You don't see any animal life or any sort of activity out there in the woods, in the wilderness. Just that on the side of the road, there seems to be some sort of small forest shrine for a traveler sort of thing.
I am going to tell Nem, and I'm going to go for an exploration and see what it is. Did you want to come?
Yes.
Fafrud, you're there as well as Torin.
And I am sharing the information freely, is really. I have noticed something, I am sharing it freely. I want to go explore because I'm a curious person.
Do you get a feel that this is dangerous?
At this point in time, no.
Okay. How about you guys go on ahead and we'll finish up. We have finished setting up a perimeter?
This is really close to the camp.
Oh, okay. So
it's
then we
just
may as well
outside
go.
Near the road.
Okay, so we're still within earshot at least.
When you wander over there in the dying twilight hours, as the sun has finally set and the last lights of the day are washing away, you encounter or find a neglected forest shrine. It has several small carved humanoid figures that have beatific smiles on their faces and uplifted palms. These wooden statues, the simple shrine, has been knocked down, tumbling the figures into the loam of the turned soil off to the side of the road. The shrine is otherwise empty, but if I could get a insight check from Alin and perception checks from everyone else.
22.
Wow. And everyone's perception checks?
18.
9.
So you guys notice that the faces have nice smiles and that their palms are turned up.
Isn't that pretty?
Yeah, the 18. You can also make a religion check following that. You note that on the perception that these were knocked over by some action. And what was your religion check?
My religion check was a grand total of 8.
8 is just sufficient to note that this shrine with their palms up seems to be requesting an offering sort of thing, sort of element, but you're not sure as to what god or what it is in connection to. Your insight check lets you in on that something malicious or something nefarious has knocked these things over out of spite, that they're kicked into the loam by some foot of a passerby sometime during the day. And you know that it was someone leaving Mariposa who kicked this shrine over. What would you guys like to do?
Okay, I would also share my insight that I believe this was done with intent on the road. As we're coming upon it later in the day, are we grouped or traveling? Would they be in that general camp then possibly?
No.
So this has happened. They're on the road ahead of us somewhere. So it is possible that we could be meeting with malicious intent in the future, but we are good for possibly today. If anybody recognizes the, I would say, shrine and want to repair, I'm game for it. It never would hurt, I don't think. I don't know. because he had the religious, I don't know what the religious.
I don't think I know mend.
Well, nothing is broken. They're all just scattered in the loam.
Can we, like, collect them and try to put them back together?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That sounds like a respectful thing to do.
I would probably do. Just note that there is somebody, obviously, somebody that was maybe upset about something.
You know,
and the road ahead.
Sometimes as you travel to a new place, you end up not respecting the customs of the people around you. And
I would choose to fix it.
It makes me sad that this has happened.
Well, let's have you guys fix the shrine then.
Sure.
I'm going to need a religion check. Does anyone have religion as a skill?
No. I do.
Nope.
All right. So since you have religion as a skill and you're getting assistance from your comrades here.
Oh, I'll help you.
Then I will grant you advantage on the roll. And what that means for our new players is if you have advantage, you get to roll 2d20s and pick the higher one.
Okay.
You don't even tell me what the low one is when you roll with advantage. The game also has a system called disadvantage. Mm-hmm. And if you can believe it, you also have to roll 2d20s and you have to pick the lower one. What happens when you only roll one d20? That's called a normal check.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
So with advantage, what did you get on your check?
16.
That is more than enough for you to reconsecrate this shrine, which you believe to be to some sort of beatific nature spirit in the area. But that it would require some sort of donation that would be left in the open palms of the statues by travelers as part of that. Is there a donation that you would leave? And I would recommend it need to be around the 5 gold piece mark for it to be worthwhile to the spirits.
Nice job, Dagger Boy.
I will donate 5 gold, like, automatically because of nature.
I feel like the amount of disrespect that this shrine has shown it probably needs something more than just a meager 5 gold. It has to have some meaning behind it. I take out my small knife that I have from being an urchin, and then I cut loose the dagger that I had on my hip, the very beautiful, ornate, sentimental dagger that I have, and I place it in the donation.
Great. And you just place just the dagger, or do you take Nem's 5 gold as well?
That is my donation.
Okay.
If Nem chooses to contribute more,
I will also contribute.
That is up to her.
Have cut the loop free from your belt, the loop of the sheathing of the dagger.
Mm-hmm.
You place the dagger in the upturned palms. Nem places the 5 gold or the amount of copper and silver to amount to 5 gold in there as well. Do either of my 2 natural-born characters do anything either?
I would go on a hunt for a specific night flower.
Ooh.
And then place that in a palm as well.
Not something you can do immediately,
nope.
But I like that. You can definitely take that into your actions as you're watching and making guard for the evening. We'll make a roll. Make a nature check now while Torin tells me if he does anything.
23.
We'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
And Torin, did you want to do anything?
I will add 2.5 gold.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a massive amount of your personal wealth. You leave this large amount of wealth at this shrine, and immediately all of you feel rested, even though you haven't rested yet. One of you had a rock nagging in the right boot, and that rock frees itself. Your bedrolls are that much fluffier when you sink into them at the end of your guard shift. And the road itself seems, over the course of the next day, to have less dust and a fresher breeze blowing in your faces than you think it ought to have. Furthermore, mechanically, the difficulty of all of the checks of the road that need to be made over the next while here have all been reduced by 2. So any check for a wagon or whatnot, or a, you know, anything that needs to be rolled for a thrown wheel or to navigate a tough bend, all of those checks have been reduced in difficulty as a result of the benevolence of these nature spirits looking out for this caravan.
We made some wanderer's day when he happened upon that that statue holding all that gold.
Yeah, but if he takes that stuff, yeah, he's not going to have very good day.
That's going to be a bad day for him, yeah.
Alin, you find in the forest a certain flower, a night-blooming flower. Can you describe that for me?
So it's one of the ones that only open up when moonlight shines on it. So it's closed during the day and then opens at night with moon rays. Moon
and rays? What color is it?
Is that a word?
Yeah.
We are going to say that it's like a night fluorescent color. So it's kind of on a different spectrum. It sort of glows, but you have to be able to see that spectrum of light.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say it glows like a light bluish.
Perfect. You follow a couple of fireflies that are trailing that same ephemeral blue color to it. You pick the flower daintily, carefully, as it is such a delicate blossom. And you take it and you place it in the upturned palm. And for the color and effort, you have inspiration. And so what that means is there's a box above your initiative modifier there or whatever, above your proficiency bonus. You're going to put a check mark there. And when you want to, on any check, ability check or attack roll, you can tell me, Kyle, I want to spend inspiration. You will erase the check mark, mm-hmm. and you will get advantage on the roll.
Okay.
It can also be used to remove disadvantage if I've applied that to you.
Okay.
The night passes well. You all slumber at your requisite times, and you awaken in the morning after each of your guard shifts, feeling refreshed and refined. No one told me that they wanted to engage or interact with the individuals about the caravan.
I mean, I did.
Would love to, We were busy checking out the shrine.
Yeah.
That's true.
That was kind of what I felt.
You're caught up in the shrine
food,
that evening.
Right? But, you know, you're going to interact when you get food a bit.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not you, because you're
special. No, I feel like people
eat.
Avoid me when I'm eating.
But it's okay that you didn't get a chance to interact with the people, because as you get up the next morning, you have more than able opportunity to engage with the individuals in the caravan at your leisure as you go about the processes of your first day of full complete travel. So after a quick but hearty breakfast served by Arul, the caravans are loaded up. You're required and pledged into assistance to help load up the rest of the caravan master's equipment into the main thing. Fifrud is required to put out the big bonfire and stamp that down, which you do without a roll, and the caravan makes its way further west towards Greyhaven. What would you like to do?
I would actually like to take a look over and around the travelers on the caravan with us and just see if I can get kind of a general sense. Is there some kind of like general consistency between patrons? Like, are they any similarities that would be
all merchants
general,
or
yeah
well, they're all travelers traveling by wagon, and all of the wagons have two draft horses, and it is around that point that the similarities end. Most of them do seem to be mercantile in nature, as though they are bringing wares from somewhere to Greyhaven to be sold. And other than Findle's wagon, they're all pretty homespun, pretty tightened down. But Findal's wagon is bright and colorful and has several different shades of bright effervescent paint on it. And he smiles cheerfully while clucking for his two draft horses to move forward. What are the names of Findal's draft horses, Marie-Claire?
Fairyweather and Dopey.
My favorite dwarf. Oh, wait.
Isn't this your new favorite dwarf?
Sure.
Torin makes a note.
Torin, didn't you want to gather knowledge from Finn and see what he was going on about? Did you want to maybe explore that today? What did we want to explore? People? Places?
I would say caravan-wise that, similar to what Fifrud was doing, to do some social interaction and maybe specifically look to see if there's any threats to the caravan from inside the caravan's populace.
That's a good plan.
Okay.
After I get a good scouting, then I would spend the rest of my time by Findal's caravan, if I could, and see what I could pick up.
Sure, by Findal's wagon? Yes, absolutely. Go and do your scout check. So give me a perception check as you move out to scan the horizon as to what sort of difficulties you may encounter. And give me the total on your perception check.
19.
While it is a gray and overcast day, the road is clear. There does not seem to be much of difficulty on the horizon. However, you do note some berries on the right side of the trail.
Hmm.
These berries are silvery in color. So Dungeon in a Box is a unique sort of monthly subscription service where you're sent in the mail a box that has the beautiful booklet itself all drawn up with all of the wonderful art and the descriptive pieces, as well as all of the other adventuring module you'll need to have at least a 2 or 3 game session out of it. But it'll also have plastic figures that'll be specific and useful to that particular module, and it will have an action map, which is much like a grid map that you'll see here that you can put those monsters and those minis on, or there'll be a broken down wagon or some sort of useful feature that you'll have with the minis and the map to create a rather immersive experience amongst other paraphernalia and pieces that'll come in any given particular box. And over the course of an entire year, you'll play through a whole campaign where all of these pieces will come to use and create kind of an immersive, expressive experience. DungeonInABox.com.
That sounds like a very unique experience.
But this in the meantime,
yay, the dream.
Torin has noticed on the right side of the trail berries in the morning these silvery berries, but the berries have their thorn, and they are thick with thorny brambles, and it would be very hard to pick or gather these berries unless you have the right trick or the right know-how when it comes to nature, or assistance from a friend to pick those berries. Also, just at first blush, silvery berries, you're not too sure if they are poisonous or good to eat. So both would require a check.
Do you want to go pick some berries?
Yeah. Berries! Yes, I do! I really want to go pick berries!
So, Alin, the druid, of course, has been notified by Torin. How do you tell Alin about these berries on the road?
Alin, look, yonder, there are berries.
Ooh, berries!
Points off down the road. You see them right away. You see the thick thorns and brambles that are therein as well. And can I get a perception check from anyone who happens to notice Torin there? You're all around and about.
Nope.
And we have a 20 there. Oh, anybody?
25.
Wow. And did you make a perception check as well?
Another one?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. In this instance, you're looking specifically at the berries.
13.
So you perceive something. You're intent upon the berries. Anyone with nature may now make a check to determine whether or not these berries are edible or good or useful.
We're totally distracted by other things because we both didn't roll very well.
Okay. You notice the berries.
Oh, yeah.
You're just not noticing other pieces. And what did you get on your nature check?
10.
8 for me.
You know, looking at the berries, that these are rare berries, that these are called glimmer berries, and that they are only silver because that is the glimmer of light that's coming off of them. These are a magical berry and a key component in certain magical potions. However, they are quite difficult to harvest. And you also noticed with your really high perception score something flitting about the berries as the caravan's rolling up to it. It is a tiny, bug-like, larger hummingbird sort of thing. What was your perception score again? What did you roll?
25.
A 25 says that you actually have seen a tiny man with fluttery, iridescent dragonfly wings wearing squirrel hide armor.
Oh, cool.
With the full tail draped around him like a big neck scarf. He's got a pixie cut because that is the given
natural style,
right? style of hair. You need to cut it to have that. And he's fluttering about protectively.
Is he classified as an animal?
No.
I would like to talk to him. Can I talk to him?
Absolutely.
Can- I don't know. I'm allowed to animal talk, so I'm like, I don't know if I can talk to the tiny human. Am I allowed to talk to the tiny human?
This is D&D. You can do anything you want
to
do.
I want to talk to the tiny
You can
human.
Try anything.
So you can try anything.
So what you would like to do is play D&D, and I will make that very much able and endeavor to allow you to do that. So do you point out the tiny flying humanoid to anyone else?
I would probably point it out to Nim.
Okay, I'm not paying attention to you, but sure, I'll come over.
No, if she's not paying attention,
I'm like
wait.
Still by the, because I didn't see anything. So over
perception.
There.
I asked for well.
When you don't roll very well in a perception check, it doesn't mean you forget everything that's going on around you. It just means that the hidden secret special stuff that I would like to share does not immediately get disseminated to you.
Okay.
It gets passed on to the person who like rolled the 19.
Okay. So you point him out to me? Okay.
At this point in time, you've shown me the berries. I've went and gone and investigated berries. I'd probably point it out to the other two that have not been paying attention, maybe.
Absolutely.
So I'd wave you over and say, we're going to talk to the would that be scary to the tiny little man?
You'd need to make an insight check. Do you want to tell them about the magical nature of these berries as well?
Well, I don't. I would like to talk to the little man first to glean if he's protecting or trying to get berries first.
Well, the caravan's rolling up. Why don't you make an insight check to see if you can understand why he's flitting about the way he is? If you emotionally understand what they're doing.
15.
A 15 is more than enough for you to realize he's concerned that some of these horrible giant people are going to throw something onto his bush and hurt it, or even worse, try to take his special magic berries.
Okay. Oh. All right. I would then offer him a trade. I will protect his bush and berries from the moving caravan as long as he would trade me 5 berries.
So you want to go over and engage in conversation with the pixie.
Yep.
Okay. You approach with politeness, but do you inform the rest of the party, or do you leave them all in the lurch?
At this point in time, if the insight says that he is looking to protect the berries, I would not. I would approach solo. I do not want to scare the little man. I would like to engage him in a friendly term. I don't want to come off as aggressive or seeking to stamp and take all said little berries.
Sure. So you walk over to the berries with purpose. None of the rest of the party is aware of a pixie. So let's be clear that when Alin starts talking to the bush, it seems very much as though Alin is having a conversation with a weird horrible, like, picture magical blackberry
magical
bushes.
Blackberry bushes.
Did she have one?
Maleficent's castle.
She is a druid, so I'm just gonna assume that it's some weird druid thing that she does.
Druid thing.
This is a druid thing.
Yeah, this
right?
is a druid yeah, thing.
Is,
yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
gotta be a druid thing.
Talking to bushes and trees. That's
she's communing with nature. They do that.
Yeah.
That's even the thing. Weird nature.
Okay. All right. That was awesome, Walder and Stettler. Waldorf and whatever their names are, little
Abbott and
back and forth.
Who's on first?
It was more like a couple of old Muppets. It was great over there. You approach the bush. Golf commentary aside, what do you say to the pixie?
I am very impressed with your armor.
Oh!
And the fact that you seem to be well-equipped to protect your berries.
Yeah, fucking right I am!
Do we hear that?
Nope.
No? Oh, okay.
I am curious, would you like assistance in protecting your berries? There are lots of people, big people, in a caravan coming. I would gladly offer you a trade of protection for some of your berries.
What the fuck?!
you know,
blue-skinned giant!
That I be, yes. And I'm trying really hard not to make twig and berry jokes. So really?
Well, you can try harder then.
Len, what are you doing?
Do you laugh like that?
Yeah. In character?
If I was going along that, I probably would be laughing in character, which means I would be bent over the bush and you wouldn't be able to tell that I was laughing.
You can see the side. I mean, you can make an insight check, but it would be a really low difficulty. So you get the feeling that Alin is leaned over and is chortling with mirth, or her sides are heaving in mirth-like fashion. So you definitely feel like she's gone over to the bush and she's having a laugh.
Her bush is clearly a very strong conversationalist.
It's burning. You better watch it.
This is a laughing
bush? I don't necessarily know. I would try harder to make not dick jokes. I don't know what else I would say to the tiny little man.
Okay, so what do you say to the tiny little man?
Just say a dick joke. It'll be funny.
How mighty of a bush you are protecting right now.
Got that right. I fertilized it, but good. And its thorns are big and sharp. It'll prick you, make you bleed. All your big, fat, probably blue blood.
Are you interested in blood? Why are your thorns so prickly?
Protect my bush.
But what happened?
It's a glimmerberry. It has the... That's what it's got. It's nature.
Well, what does the glimmerberry do?
You try to pick one. I'll stab you with me sword here.
And he pulls out this like little toothpick and it shines and glints in the early morning light. However, you already realized that the glimmerberries are magical and have a healing propensity and also sustaining quality to them.
I'm going to wander over at this point because I suspect that she might be interested in this bush in some way, maybe making it her new home. I don't know what druids do. And I come up. Do I spot the thing that she's...
Sure, yeah. You see him right away brandishing a tiny little sword as he flies.
Is he cute?
Super cute.
All right, I'm going to flirt with the fairy.
He looks like he is...
This is why I wanted her there earlier.
He looks like he's a member of... What's that British boy band?
One Direction?
Yeah, he looks like he is the lead singer of One Direction.
And the dwarf knows the terminology of the...
do you know any of the people in One Direction? Which one is he?
Nick Jonas.
That's... I don't think he's in One Direction.
No, I don't know any of the people from One Direction.
How cute. You're very handsome, Nem says.
You're fucking right I am.
And he flits closer to you and a shower of pixie dust, of course, comes off his back as he moves about and he sparkles and glistens in the morning light.
We would like to get some of these berries. They're very magical and healing potions. So we would like to trade. So could you have some special impression with him? Flirt more.
So you just say that?
Behind my hand, because he would...
What's your name?
Right. He rolls his eyes.
Right.
He says, Peony.
I knew it! I knew it! Get away from my dwarf!
That was me laughing.
But it's a very good name.
So, can I walk over now? Because I feel like it's weird that the two of them are now talking.
Are peonies big?
I believe so, yes. They're also a big bush.
I'm not from around here originally, but you seem quite vibrant and virile.
Colorful.
Colorful?
Flamboyant.
comes in. Is there anything that we can do to help you?
Yeah, you can like...
Peony?
Leave my bush be!
Oh.
But it's a really nice bush and I don't wanna...
Well, then you'll taste my sword!
I don't think that's very good. I mean...
Tasting of a sword?
No, I mean, he kind of owns this bush. I mean...
What? We're talking about tasting swords and cutting bushes and...
It feels like you guys are gonna try to persuade Peony to part with... Some of his berries
in fair trade.
Yes.
How would you like to, or what would you offer Peony? It felt like Alin wanted to offer protection for the berries.
I will offer him the opportunity to explore faraway lands.
I tried to just take him with us.
Yeah.
But take the bush with him too.
Yeah, we could do that.
I'm going to offer one of the jewels off of my friend's beard.
I don't have any jewels. I'm too poor for jewels.
Okay.
They're all like bobbles. Wooden and like iron rings and stuff.
Bobbles. Shiny things. My friend's beard.
you begin to engage in fair negotiations with Peony. Meanwhile, Torin, since you're not engaged in this interaction, you notice something peculiar. You are absolutely certain that Fifrud put his pretty brand new dagger in the outstretched hands of the spirits of the shrine last night. You watched him cut that loop free. However, that dagger is on the loop on his belt.
The
very dagger that he cut free.
Damn it, I've been cursed, haven't I?
He's wearing it again. Your immediate belief, and you can choose to suppress this or not, is that he snuck over there during his shift and he stole his dagger back and he put it back on. You can choose to continue to believe that. That is your first impression. Or you can think other thoughts. Meanwhile, the fair negotiations are underway. Before you roll, you are offering a
bauble from my friend's beard.
Okay.
Which is totally yours to offer, by the way.
His counter proposal is he wants like the entire lock from his beard. The whole left one.
I'll give him some of my hair.
He wants the beard. The beard was offered. He wants the left lock. Oh, because I recall Fifrud was described as having the center one and then the two that came off. He wants that whole left one cut, bound, and given to Peony. That will make a much better neck wrap than this squirrel tail.
I have golden hair, as you can see. I would think my hair braided would make a very good neck wrap.
Just to be clear, you offered part of the beard.
Yeah.
Bauble.
The beads.
The beads and baubles within the beard. His counter was the whole thing. I don't care about another counter. What I'd like to see is your roll, and depending on the difficulty,
all right,
we'll go from there. So what is your persuasion check?
Ooh, 19.
So you are able to convince Peony that if you give him a bauble, he will give you berries.
Okay.
Yay.
I say, which one?
And I hand her a small ring from my beard that is mostly iron with wood around the outside of it. Polished
I take it
wood.
And I lean in and hand
and
it
towards
Peony.
So that is worth a single berry.
Okay.
He says he will give you gladly 10 berries for that whole lock of hair.
I don't know what these berries are. I give the berry to my friend.
Okay, and I would go and explain that a glimmer berry is basically a magic healing berry that if you take one, it will alleviate a hit damage that you have received.
They also can be like boiled down and reduced. For somebody who has a herbalism kit, they would be able to construct a potion of healing.
Okay. Out of one berry?
No.
No.
10. How many do you need?
You would be able to create from 10 berries, 1d4 plus 1 healing potions.
And is that decent or not decent?
It's okay.
Counter offer. I have two of these. If you give us 25 berries, I'll give you both.
All right, so there's only 10
berries. Oh, darn. Okay, so then that doesn't work. With a deep, deep sigh, I pull out my knife.
Yeah, you pull out your knife.
So I pull out the ornate dagger.
And halfway through cutting, that's when you realize.
And I drop it for a second, just out of shock, because I have no idea how it got back into my possession.
Your other hand still holding tight the bundle of almost falling out locks, which would have just fluttered into the breeze and been gone. Actually, you know what? No. Make a dexterity check to see if you manage to hold on to your locks as you drop your dagger in shock.
They're all like tied together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But did he let... Well, they're not quite, but yes.
It's a braid. It's
yeah. A braid. It should... All right. Make it... It's a DC 5. I'm not saying much.
Okay. And sorry, what was it? Dexterity?
Yeah.
Yeah. 11.
More than enough. You hold on to your braid. It's half off your face. You don't rip the other half out of your face. You drop your ceremonial dagger in the dust.
I grab my small knife again and finish.
No, I'd stop you. I would bend and pick up the dagger and I would look
which at the... you now notice.
Yep.
That
and then
that
I'd
was
look
left
at the pixie
the...
and I say, "Were you playing tricks?"
What fucking tricks?
Whoa.
He was gathering up berries
was
at the
he?
Time.
Okay.
And he's like, "What fucking tricks?"
Perfect. Nothing? You continue.
You think
along
I'm
your
a
bearing?
Rabbit?
Tricks are for kids.
Misunderstanding. And I go and I pick up the ceremonial dagger with two fingers and I give it back to my friend.
And I just kind of like...
There's this weird interchange as three people yep. now handle the ceremonial
no,
dagger.
I've already
and
picked
it. Torin.
I'm
watching and, yeah, so she
it
takes yeah.
I've picked it up. And
as
said,
Torin watches this whole thing transpire.
I just examine it as closely as I can, making sure it's the exact same. Nothing's different. That is
the dagger.
Feel
oh, yeah, no, that's
different or anything.
That's that fancy dagger you spent so much gold on.
Past that shrine. Like,
oh,
it's,
yeah, it's like an hour
so
or two behind you.
And he doesn't know any tricks.
So just to be clear, you pick up the dagger, yeah, and your initial thought is he went and stole that dagger back in the middle of the night during his shift.
That's not my initial thought.
It is your initial thought. You can choose to suppress it or embrace it, whatever you
that
want.
Is, I
you
chose
can
to
change
suppress
to do something. And as well, Nem, you also, as soon as you see that dagger, your thought is he went and took the dagger. Like, it can be a question. It is still just the first thought.
I use it to finish taking off the part that I was doing.
And you think to yourself as you take the dagger back, how could I have gotten up in the middle of the night not knowing that and put the dagger back on? But you, and only you, see that the thong that you cut free is completely whole. It was not broken or ripped or cut. It is as though it was never cut ever. And the sheath still dangles from your belt.
Who put gold in the... Count your gold. How much gold do you have?
Yeah, I like gold too. Give me some of that.
I'll look in my gold purse.
You're already getting what you asked for, and we're getting what we asked for. No change to the deal.
She just throws a berry at you.
And I'm going to try to catch it.
All right, you catch the berry.
Okay, good.
I'll look in my gold pouch.
I would also then look in my herb kit.
I'm starting to
all
walk
of the
over.
Materials that you gave over to the shrine are still missing, except the dagger.
Okay.
You wander over. You've heard all of this interaction.
That's okay.
And you're there now as well.
I would say this is something to be discussed later. We have concluded the transaction.
Hand over the braid. Yeah. Take the berries. Take and the I berries. Say, Peony, you're a lovely, lovely soul.
Well, you don't know me in the sect.
Continue to fertilize your bush.
Actually, he's like, he would have said something like, "But that's not what they say under the bush."
Hey.
You gather up your 10 berries. They're just in your hands. The juices look, a couple of them have broken skins a little bit. Nothing to like hurt or damage them, but the smell is delicious. It is almost cinnamon-like and minty, but it's different for each of you in that quality of smell of the thing that you like, natural flavorings you enjoy so much. Yes, Torin.
We got the 10 quality berries that he was protecting all this time?
Yes. Well, he's protecting the bush.
The bush.
Ah.
But you've managed to get 10 of these sweet, delicious berries, the ripest, plumpest, juiciest of them from this pixie. He has collected the berries for you, and he has chucked that squirrel tail to the earth, and he has wrapped this lustrous brown dwarven lock of hair, beard hair, around his neck. And as you guys are turning to walk away, he turns his head and his face falls crestfallen, and he's like, "What is this? It's soft or supple at all? It's itchy and wild blushes, yeah, scratches
my hair."
But it is warm.
Oh my. I would like to do a religion check on
sure.
the dagger, just to be safe. Ooh, that's not bad. 18.
18. Are you trained in religion?
I am.
Okay. So there are religious markings upon this dagger.
17.
You don't notice anything. No. There are religious markings upon this dagger of a pantheon of gods you are not accustomed or have had any interaction with. They are small and slight, and they are not in the ornamentality of the dagger, the gems, the encrustations. It's actually in the patina on the metal itself. The dents of the metal itself bang out these astrological type symbols and sigils of a pantheon of deities you are unfamiliar with.
Okay. I'm going to try to remember the day that I bought the dagger and see if there was anything that stood out about the shopkeep.
The shopkeep was a small man with a turban, and he had whispered you and enjoined you to come closer. Yes, come close. And when you got too close, he's like, a little too close. And he's like, welcome to Mariposa, a city of mystery, of enchantment, of the finest merchandise. Never mind. That was another town in another place in another time.
Arabian Nights.
Oh, you know it so well. And he did try to sell you a lamp, but you were not in the market for a lamp. He did sell you this dagger. And he did go and drone on and on about the origin of the dagger. But you had so many questions about the gems and the sharpness that all of those special questions that he was trying to answer, the details of the history of the dagger, you never got out of him because you kept asking all these horribly mundane, humdrum, boring questions like,
oh, what kind of gems are those?
Yes, well, they are the fanciest and the most finest gems this side of the River Jordan, just for you today.
And what's the blade made of?
Right, of course it is, of course. 120 grade steel, it is carbon and snuffed in. But that is not the history
and
of the
what
dagger.
What about the hilt? I see this little design here. It's
yes,
really pretty.
That is what I was trying to tell you about, he says. But you interrupt him and with so yet on. Another question. And as this dawns on you, your predilection towards horribly inappropriate questions that are not necessarily inappropriate, they're just at the inappropriate time, gives you inspiration. Meanwhile, while you're remembering this, everyone else has left. You're still standing in front of the bush, and the caravan has moved on, and you're probably like 200 yards away, and you come to for a moment. You're still looking at the dagger, and you're no closer to understanding the history or what it means that it is still in your hands.
Okay. I'm going to try to catch up to the caravan.
You catch up to the caravan, and the rest of the morning seems to pass without any more berries or shrines or other notable interactions with the environment around you. But the day grows more humid. Moisture clings in the air. It feels as though it is just about to rain as you slow, but don't stop, for lunch.
He's wearing the beard.
I've seen a picture of Peony in his dwarven beard.
That's beautiful.
Arwel comments on the change of your dwarven fashion with a, you're lopsided, and that is all. Now, I noticed there was a lot of widened eyes when I asked if people wanted to interact with individuals in and around the caravan as you're traveling along. Is this, in fact, still the case?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So, what I will get you guys to do, because this wonderful module has created a random chart. So, how about each of you roll me a d6, and we'll start with David. What number have you rolled?
I have rolled a 5.
What you have uncovered in the second wagon is a trader with goods to sell in Greyhaven.
Clarification?
Yes.
Is it trader or traitor?
With a D.
Thank you.
I don't know what they would be a traitor of if they were in fact a traitor.
Probably of the city that we're leaving.
Or a traitor to the cause. The unholy Glimmerberry Bush stampers. I don't know. but if you give me another roll of a D6, I will tell you what that person is carrying.
2.
They're bringing fabric. They have uncut spools of linen and heavy wool and as a couple of animal furs that they are traveling along with. It is a pair of people. Marie Claire, can you tell me, is it a couple or just two individuals working together?
They're a couple, but they're brothers.
Yeah, that's kind of
like,
gross.
They're brothers.
They're brothers in business.
In business.
Not. You know what? They are selling fabric. It is shiny. It is colorful. And they introduce themselves as brothers. They are both half elves, but your unneeded insight check tells you they are not in fact brothers, but that they liked to introduce themselves as brothers. And their attitude on the road, you can roll me a d6 as well for that one too.
A one.
They don't really seem to be inviting of questions, and they answer your questions, and they are very pleased that you are acting as a guard, and they don't have any secrets that they wish to impart or tell you, but they mention secrets while they're talking to you, that we don't have any secrets. And the one guy's like, well, that seems to indicate that we would have secrets. Well, we don't have any secrets, brother. Do we? They then sink into sullen silence, glaring at each other as though you have now initiated a lover's quarrel. But they do not respond to any further inquiries on your part.
Okay.
Did anybody else wish to interact with one of the wagons?
Yes.
Please roll me a d6.
3.
You've encountered a professional who's on the job. Please roll a d6 again.
1.
They are penitent pilgrims on a lengthy journey to a holy site.
Ah.
In Greyhaven itself and beyond the ocean before them. They have a keen interest in seeing Kraken Bay when they get to Greyhaven.
Cool.
Which you've never even heard of, Kraken Bay. There is a priest who is accompanying them. Can you roll a d8, please?
An 8.
There are 8 people in this wagon, these pilgrims. They are not wearing shoes. They're wearing homespun robes. They're all very, very poor. They have very meager supplies, and the priest seems to be a bit better off. He is a large shepherd's crook. He intones every day at midday, which now is the second time you've seen this, he intones a lengthy sermon to some unheard of god.
I'm interested, and I will
attend.
Can
you give me a roll to tell me what their attitude is?
5.
The priest is really bored with doing this. He's done this like 12 times now, bringing these pilgrims to the faraway location that he's been traveling from. He's been traveling up from the south of Mariposa, picking up people along the way. There's a large worshiping sect of them, and this is a Mecca pilgrimage that they undertake. And they cast off all their wealth when they leave, and they go on pilgrim and live a very meager, poor life, much like the prophet. Can I get a name, Carrie? Yeah, that one. I want that name. The one that made you laugh.
It's going to be a good name.
No, it's not.
It's going to be the best.
Fluffendel.
Perfect. Those are my favorites.
I will point out, Fluffendel is a dwarven prophet from olden times and has that double dot over the U.
Fluffendel.
Fluffendel.
Thank you for that. See?
You're very welcome.
Just say yes.
The holy prophet, Fluffendel. And these pilgrims are all humans. None of them are dwarves. But the priest is really tired of doing this, but it is a really good source of income. So he's traveling along. This is his third trip on Arawal's caravan. Mm. That he mentions, but does not inquire as to anything else. And that is a couple of caravans which you interact with and meet up with over the course of that midday, middle of the afternoon journey.
Can I ask him, since this is his third time traveling this direction, have they run into problems before?
The young priest shall henceforth be played by David. So, David, what's the young priest's name?
Tarsnell.
Feel free to say whatever you like. He's very bored. Doesn't like his job. If you want more, but he doesn't want to talk about his religion to anybody, because that is saved for the intonations, as he calls them. And feel free to have any interactions you'd like with Tarsnell happen with David. And I'll help you out if you have any need.
Tarsnell, is this road dangerous? I've never traveled this direction before. Have you run into problems before?
First of all, please call me Tar. And
We have seen some difficulties in the past, yes.
You seem a little bored, maybe, with this travel? What sort of difficulties have you seen?
There was once where we saw this bush and we were trying to get maybe a berry, but we were chased away. And plenty of bandits.
Oh.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
That's good to know. So, you planning on sticking with the religion thing?
I don't want to talk about it.
All right, there we go.
That ends that. He's called away by another pilgrim. Thank you, David. I will grant you inspiration as well. Thank you for playing that NPC. You may spend that for your character at any juncture you would like.
I have a question.
Your character?
About what my character knows. As a player, about what my character knows. Do I know Findal as a very knowledgeable person?
Well, he's knowledgeable in arcane matters.
Okay, but not religious ones.
Not overly, no, you don't believe so. He's more inclined towards the mastery of the arcane arts rather than begging a god for help.
Fair. I would love to hopefully find someone on this caravan that knows something about this dagger.
You have encountered no one as of yet. That is to say there are still several other wagons left, but time grows short and you're not able to discover the what's going on or who is transporting what in the other four wagons as evening approaches and the wagons are circled once again in another convenient field. There is no shrine here that you have noticed or seen. Although, is anyone looking for further forest shrines along the way, or are you more intent upon hazards and dangers?
I'm more intent on, you know, getting through the forest, so I will look for hazards and dangers.
But you should be observant, so hazards and dangers could be in a form of whatever.
Yeah.
Right? So
I would keep an eye out for another shrine in case it might offer some kind of answers.
Excellent. So I'll keep that in mind. You rest for the evening and you get up the next day. There were no interactions, no worries. You're moving along at a good clip as morning turns to afternoon. It slowly, lightly begins to rain. You had a chance over the course of the evening, Alin, to interact with those glimmer berries if you so desired.
Mm.
Was there something you wanted to do with them?
Yes, I believe I would wanted to make healing potions with my herbalism kit.
Sure. You pull out your herbalism kit and you realize that it takes a certain measure of arcane talent combined with your herbalism kit to create an actual healing potion. But you do have a friend on the journey named
Findel Dinfizzle Findizzledome.
He does not
help.
Findazzle. No. I don't know his name. I cannot.
That's
do
okay. But you wrote the whole thing down, right?
Findel Dinfin Findazzle.
Close enough, he says. And he assists you in the production of these healing potions.
All right.
Please roll a d4.
Four.
You have created 5 healing potions.
What?
As a result of making use of these glimmer berries. And you still have 2 left over that were not broken down or used in the production of the healing potions. Now, they're not ready yet. It does take about a week of brewing time.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But Findal has the sort of alchemist kit that, along with your herbalism kit, allows you to break these berries, these 8 berries down, and transform them into what everyone at the table who's played Dungeons & Dragons before knows to be a classic healing potion, which is super useful and important in this game, and you guys have made them yourself.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, in about 3 more days of in-game travel time, they will have brewed and steeped and marinated or whatever it is that they needed to do to transform into a proper healing potion. And please note, you still have 2 glimmer berries on your character sheet.
And we have rested since the events with the pixie and the glimmer berries, right?
Oh, yes.
Yep. Okay, so I changed my spells and I would like to cast Detect Magic on the dagger.
Sure.
Do I discover anything?
No, you discover nothing magical about the dagger.
All right. Cool.
Your face is awesome.
But the sheath is...
What? What's on the sheath?
The sheath glistens and glimmers with magical illumination.
And if I keep focusing on it, will I gain any new information, or...
Nope. You don't seem to be able to pierce the nature of the magic of the sheath of the dagger itself.
All right.
However, you know the sheath is magical.
So if I get the opportunity, I will talk to our gnome friend again.
And you could make an arcana check.
I'm not trained in that.
Exactly. I didn't think, but I'll allow for an arcana check to see if you can, if your scrutiny and intense focus gives you any insight.
Adding my intelligence? Yeah, that's a grand total of 8.
You know that there are 2 schools of magic at play within this sheath, but they're confusing you.
Okay.
At this time.
That's fair.
I go to Fifrud and I ask him, or just state the question, you left that knife behind, you got it back somehow, and I wait for a response.
And I tell him, it's weird. And I hold it out and I say, I just can't used my abilities, and I know that the sheath is magic. I don't know how.
Let me take a look at it.
Can you look at it from here?
Can I make a roll?
What would you like to do? What are you looking to understand?
Wherever he's pointing, I want to look at it, see whether I can understand what it's about, where it's from.
The nature of the sheath.
Nature of.
Okay, then I would need either an arcana check or a religion check or a history check from you.
Well, given I have arcana, I'd be best on that roll.
Okay, roll arcana.
You have arcana? Cool.
I do. And history.
He used to be a student guy, like a teen.
Oh, he's a scholar. Smarty pants.
16.
This sheath seems to be magical in some capacity and seems to be connected to destiny and old gods. But these gods are older than the texts you've had an opportunity to scrutinize in your sage-like background. But they have been referenced in texts, but you just never encountered the texts that dealt with them in specificity.
Okay.
Gods long gone.
You're going to need
world.
A bigger library.
I relay that back to you.
And we're back on the road again, or are we
right? Oh, absolutely. This is at some point in an evening rest or on the next day, just before it begins to rain.
I am going to take the dagger, sheath and all, and I am going to wrap it in cloth and leave it on one of the carriages near the front, the one that I've been regularly guarding.
Okay. And you're just going to leave it?
Yeah.
Like, you not touch it ever? Like,
I'm just gonna set it down and see what happens.
Okay.
Right.
Where are you setting it down exactly?
I'm going to try leaving it with our gnome friend. Findal Dinfizzle Findazzle.
Well, thank you, of course. He says.
I want you to keep this in a corner somewhere. Don't touch it, and I'll just let you know if anything weird happens. And let me know if anything weird happens.
So you know, something weird is already happening.
What?
All of this.
What is it?
All right, I'll take your little sheath. I'll put it over here.
Oh, wait. And then I take it and I put it back on and I take out my small knife and I cut it off again.
Okay.
And I put it in the wrap.
I gotta replicate this entirely. Okay.
Experiment.
Yeah.
All right. You place it there and you go about your business. But it's never far from your mind that you know exactly where it is and what it's doing there. So.
That's cool.
With that, you proceed into the next day, have an opportunity to interact and engage with a couple more caravan wagons. But off to the side, you hear a grumbling, some sort of natural animal sort of sound on the right side of the trail again.
I am going to go check the right side of the trail, can I?
Yeah, and as you're trying to make a nature check to determine what that sound might be, or before you perceive or look into the darkness of the gloom of the afternoon, as you try to perceive into the forest there and understand what it is, the storyteller breaks from his tale and says, we'll have to pick this up another time. And we'll end to there for now.
What is with the dagger? What did you do?
That's awesome.
And sing with the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. And raise a glass and toast to the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes the second episode of Tavern Tales Presents Dungeon in a Box. Find out more about Dungeon in a Box at www.dungeoninabox.com. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. Find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or on their website, www.badbillyband.com, or follow them on Twitter, @BadBillyBand. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or to find us on Twitter @Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.